You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guest will be talking about how he went from zero to three rental properties within a year.
That's right, Charles. And he'll talk about how he tackled the fear of the unknown. And I love how he said, "I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it." Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Hi, everyone. It's Charles Rose Jr. with Breakthrough Investor, where we help you break through that next level as an investor. And with me, always, is William Palmer, real estate investor and the amazing co-host of Breakthrough Investor. William, brother, how wonderful are you doing today?
I am doing great. As we talked about right before jumping on, came home and dinner was ready to go. And I don't know about you guys, but a sweet potato and a steak is really hard to beat. And so I was excited to get that and then know that I was going to be hopping on a podcast with you and getting to interview a one-on-one MPI student, which is always, always fascinating to just hear from them, like what got them started in real estate and where they want to go and some of the challenges that they faced, and just get to know them as an individual and hear their story. I always am super excited to talk to any one-on-one student and just anyone in particular about real estate.
Absolutely. You are that kind of person. Like, William is literally the guy who will speak to someone in the bathroom, in the junkyard, with real estate or any interesting topic. So I know this is definitely exciting for you. And man, this is personal for me too, William, just because, you know, you and I both got to meet this guy. Like, we met him at RubyConf 2 years in a row. Yep. And, you know, I have had the great honor and opportunity of being his one-on-one coach. And so seeing him through the beginning and the whole process from, like, when he was even thinking, like, should I even, you know, do coaching to help me pursue my dreams? I got to see him through the whole journey. So it's super exciting, man, William, because, you know, he was in less than a year, he was able to close three rental units, so a total of two properties and three rental units within less than a year. Isn't that amazing, William?
Yeah, the timing's great. And I think back to even when I started doing one in a year, I was like, that's incredible. And so hearing people who are doing one, two, three inside of a year, it's phenomenal and it's awesome. And it just really, really goes to show that coaching and getting with the right program that works for you is absolutely worth it. I love it. And I love hearing about other people's successes. It gets me pumped and gets me super excited for them. It motivates me to want to go out and do great things.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So this is super exciting, very passionate for me and William, because we got to meet him and spend some time with him. And so without further ado, help me welcome our guest today, Tanner Cox. Tanner, brother, how amazing are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Great. Doing great.
We're excited to be talking to you, man. And man, we just want to, like, you know, we know some of your story, but our audience, they're going to want to know more about you and your journey. So tell us, what initially made you get into real estate?
Yeah, I thought about it years ago, and I always thought, you know, I'd like to have some rentals. I always come back to, I don't really want to be a landlord. So I just, you know, threw the idea out of my mind and just forgot about it. And then it was last year, early last year, I got to thinking about it again, and I never thought about using the PM before, you know, having a property manager. And I was going out of work one day, and I was getting ready to turn on my music, you know, just like every day. And I don't know why, but I was getting ready to click on the music, and I thought, I'm going to look up, you know, real estate investing. And I got on Spotify and looked up real estate investing and found Dustin's podcast. And I clicked on it, and I thought, man, I never thought about using a PM. You know, I don't have to be a landlord. I can just, you know, do it passive. And I listened to the podcast probably for, you know, a couple months or so. And then that's when I did the call with you, you know, before I signed up, talked to you about it. And then I had to buy a laptop. I didn't have a laptop. So I had to buy a laptop, told you, you know, hey, I'll get my laptop and then I'll sign up. And it just went from there. As soon as I signed up, it was real close to that first conference. And that's when I went out to the conference of 23 in Phoenix. And that's kind of how I got into it. I was just walking out from work one day and had the idea, hey, I'm going to look at real estate investing. It's kind of happened real quick.
That's amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And so I know it all kind of happened quick, right? But, you know, was there something that really like drive you and motivated you to do it? Like, were you thinking, you know, like William and I, like we do this, you know, one reason we do this is to take care of our family for freedom, for legacy. You know, we do it for lots of different reasons. And so we'd like to hear more about, you know, what was like that why and behind you wanting to do it to change your future?
Yeah, I I'd like to, you know, do just real estate here, you know, as soon as I can, maybe 10 years down the road or whatever it may be. But I just got tired of my normal job and I always knew I wanted to do something. I'd looked into some other things before and, you know, nothing ever, you know, like, oh, I want to do that. And I just, the more I thought about the real estate, you know, the more and then I learned you could do it with PNs and whatnot. But I just want to build passive income and do that eventually. And I don't know how many I'm shooting for, just, you know, as many properties as I can get. But yeah,
that's great. It's pretty interesting that, and Charles, I don't know about you, but we all look for that freedom number. What's that number of houses to the, not like the amount of cash flow per house. That's kind of how I kind of equated, I need this many houses producing this much income to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I didn't really look at it as quitting my job necessarily, because yeah, I wouldn't have 9 to 5. I wouldn't have a boss that I had to report into, but I wanted that freedom to decide it's Monday. I'm just going to stay home late, 10 o'clock, have a cup of coffee, then hop on my laptop, look at a couple houses, run some numbers, make some phone calls, and then that'll be my day. And that's really kind of what I actually really wanted. And because I love building relationships with people. And so that was kind of what I wanted. And is that it kind of along the lines of what you're hoping to get 10 years down the road or sooner?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, you know, just pretty much that. And keep my day job, you know, as long as I want to, but you get to a certain point. And it'll probably just be like you said, you know, once I get to a certain number of houses, certain number of how much income I have coming in.
Nice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, William, I think Tanner's going to get there in like, you know, way less than like 10 years. I mean, he's already, he did way better than me. Like, I remember like when I
saw,
it took me almost a whole year to even get my first property, you know? So, and he got like two within a year. So my goodness, man. Like at that rate, you'll hit your goal soon, man.
Oh, hopefully. I'm shooting where I tell people I'd like to. I'm 31 now. I'd like to, by the time I'm 35, be at the point where I can be like, I could go part-time or maybe even better than that. You know, be at the point where I can if I want to. But, you know, if I want to keep working also.
Yeah, I mean, if you hold on to that job too, you have that income from that W-2 job and it makes you a lot more lendable to banks and so on and so forth. So you probably will speed that up just hanging on to that job a little while longer.
Yeah. So and so now what was the process of you getting these properties? Let's start with the first one and give us the details. Like, you know, were there any hurdles? Were there any issues you ran into while trying to invest in real estate?
Well, first thing, I kind of had trouble finding a certain realtor that I wanted to work with. Found this one website and they find a realtor around your area or multiple realtors and then they all call you, you know, and I found one there and we just didn't really hit it off right. I worked with him a little bit, but then I thought, you know, I'm just going to go on Zillow and contact the listing agents myself, which probably ain't the best idea, but I did that and I called about one and he actually called me back, you know, and told me about it was a condo he had. And with the HOA fee and stuff, the numbers didn't really work. So I told him, hey, you know, it doesn't really work. He says, what are you looking for? And you know, he worked with me. He said, I'll send you a list. You know, I'll get a list together over the weekend of what you want. Told him what I was looking for. And by Monday, he sent me a list of like his top 20 or 30 picks that he thought, you know, from around the area that I wanted. And so I picked one out of there. Or I think I went and looked at 7 in one day. Picked 7 of them out, went and looked at them. And I actually got the one we put an offer in on, the first one I put an offer in on. But I kind of lucked out and found, you know, the realtor. I really like working with him. And so I just kind of stumbled upon the realtor. Had a little trouble in the beginning finding one, but But yeah, that first house, I think when we found it, it was 90 something thousand. They just reduced it to 89.9. It'd been listed for like a week. And we put the offer in for 70, I believe it was 70. I think it was 75,000. And then we wanted them to fix some stuff, you know, with the inspection contingency. And they come back with, no, we don't want to fix anything, you know. So I said, okay, 73,000, you don't fix nothing. And ended up getting it for 73,000.
Oh, wow.
So got a pretty good deal. And it didn't need much. I think I overpaid for, you know, I learned, you know, some vendors that my PM would find me was, you know, a big name company and whatnot. You know, I kind of went with some people and overpaid on stuff, but, you know, it was my first one and learned with that. But overall, bought it for 73, put like 81 or so in it. So I'm probably, yeah, about 8,100 in it or so. So it's renting right now for 950. So that was the first one as a single family house.
What's your cash flow on that one? What's your interest rate?
The cash flow on that? Actually, I bought that one cash. It's cash flow at 766.
Okay, wow. Got it.
That's awesome. Great. Man. That's amazing.
That's awesome. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a little trouble when I was looking to get loans and stuff. I didn't have any, like I had a zero credit score. And I could have got a couple loans about certain people, but I was having a little trouble getting people to give me loans. So I thought, you know, I could have got a loan if I really looked, but I thought I could just do the first one cash. And then, you know, boom, right there, I could pull money out if I want to. But that's kind of why I want cash with the first one.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, that's pretty great when you can like just drop cash on your first one and then gives you the option of doing like a cash out refi, depending mm-hmm. on, of course, the valuation of that. And then you can kind of decide how much mortgage you want and so on and so forth, as long mm-hmm. as you're meeting the minimum. So after that one, how'd you end up with number two? Was number two a duplex?
The number two was a duplex. I bought it. It's like 3 weeks or a month ago. I just got it and it was listed for 200. They had higher than that, but when I found it was 200,000, and I forget what I offered, 180, I believe, and inspection contingency. We ended up settling on 185, mm-hmm. and right now it's cash flow, and it had tenants in it. They just signed like a month or so before I got it, and it's renting for 1,800 right now, and I think I can easily get probably 50 bucks easily out of each of them, so bring it up to about 1,900.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, how'd you purchase that one?
That was just a conventional loan. So I'm saving my first time home buyer loan I'm wanting to do next year.
Nice.
That's amazing. Yeah. He's just crushing it, William. And that's so amazing. Like what we find a lot of times when students get that first property, not too long after, they usually get that next property. And so the momentum keeps on going. So, man, I'm super excited for you because I know that you have some big goals and you even want to get into some multifamily deals, right? Talk more about that, man.
Yeah, with the FHA loan. Yeah, I'd say next year, early next year, mid next year, I'm wanting to look do another multifamily with the FHA, you know, all the way up to a fourplex. But besides that, between now and next year, when I want to do that, I'm going to try to look into doing no money down deals. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get into that. And, you know, if I can get good and start doing no money down deals, then
absolutely,
you know, mm-hmm. yeah, that's, do that as well as doing the FHA.
That is so awesome, man. Like William, he's already like planning, like, you know, the different tools and everything, man. This is so good. And we love doing no money down deals, man. Like it's so awesome. Just to use other people's money to buy those properties and build wealth is such a win-win situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the first one I bought, that I bought cash, I haven't pulled money out of it yet. So I need to, I'm going mm-hmm. to pull money out of it real quick so I can have that on hand also.
Look at that. Yeah. So multiple ways of doing it.
Yeah, it's really incredible the amount of options you actually get when you start buying proper mm-hmm. real estate. I feel like a lot of people, when they buy real estate, they buy one or two and then they don't try to grow it anymore. And so they're actually limiting themselves. When you buy more properties, you have so many different options with which to pull cash out, whether that be cash out refinance, if it's the right time, maybe selling something or liquidating it, getting to something else, multifamily, something of that nature, FHA loans, DSCR loans. And I think the more you get into it and the more properties you acquire, the more creative you actually realize you can actually be with financing.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's amazing, man. I'm just so excited for you and everything that you're doing, man. So tell us more on what are some of the ways that you are growing as an investor. Like, what are some of the things you're doing? I we know you went to Rubicon. You want to talk more about that? What are some of those things that you're doing, man?
Yeah, when I went to Rubicon, I'm more of a keep to myself kind of guy and quiet. You know, I going to Rubicon when I went to that first conference, I was a little nervous going out there. But one you know, before I went out there, I went to a Kroger here at home, and it was a new Kroger, and I was getting ready to go in. They just built it, and I was getting ready to shut the truck off. I thought, I'm going to go to the Kroger down the street. I'm used to it, you know, I'm familiar with it. And I was getting ready to take off, and I thought, if I can't go in a new Kroger, how am I supposed to go to Rubicon next week? I shut the truck off and made myself go in. But, you know, just little stuff like that. And then when I went to Rubicon, you know, talking with everybody, that was fun. And, you know, you learn more, almost more out in the hallways than you would at some seminars, you know, just talking to other people.
Absolutely.
You know, talking to people, the seminars this year in St. Louis, you know, I missed a couple seminars because I went to go get lunch, and then a guy sat down next to me, and he had the lanyard on, you know, and he was there for the conferences, and we just started talking about, he was a land investor, and I missed some conferences because I was talking to him, you know, learning some stuff from him. And yeah, but I plan on being at the Rubicon next year in St. Louis again. And then besides that, I went to a local meeting here. It's like probably 10 or 15 minutes from my house. I found that, and I went to it the last couple months. I plan on signing up for that. Sometimes they have a speaker every meeting, and then the last one, it was just, you know, sitting around talking. And I learned more from that than I did the first time I went to it when there was one seminar, you know. Just hearing what everybody's doing, I'm like, man, you know, I never thought of that, what they're talking about. So, yeah, networking is, you know, one of the main things that have grown, you know,
yes,
into your business.
You're a pro networker, man. I remember seeing you just from being on that first call, you know, on the phone, and then seeing you on the coaching calls, and then seeing you at the first RubeCon you went to, like how, you know, you kind of kept to yourself. And then this last RubeCon, William, I'm sure you probably saw him too in the hallways talking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To people. And it seemed like you really got out of your comfort zone. And a lot of people listening, some people listening right now, like maybe it's hard for them to get out of that comfort zone. Like, what did you do to help you get out of that comfort zone?
Well, the first thing was going in that Kroger. And then just besides that, I mean, I remember, you know, when I first signed up and you mentioned that conference out there, I was telling myself, you know, oh, I'm going to tell Charles I can't get out of work, you know, because I really didn't want to go. It's just, you know, I'm more keep to myself, but I'm glad I went. And anybody listening, you know, you just got to do it. You just got to sign up. You just got to dive right into it. You know, like I said, I listened to the podcast for a couple months and then bought the laptop, signed up, went to the conference, and, you know, you just got to dive right in, really.
Yeah. Yeah. William, this guy's acting taker for real. Like didn't have a laptop.
No, I think about that. I'm like, I don't even remember when I didn't have a laptop, but it's funny. Like, I wonder, like, did you immediately get a marketplace and start looking for trucks like I did? That was like the first thing I did when I got a laptop. But that's pretty great. So would you say that being in the right rooms and having Charles as a coach and Master Passive Income was like pretty instrumental to where you're at now, and like just super, super helpful in like projecting you forward, propelling you forward to where you want to go?
Yeah, I think so. If I didn't sign up, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can learn online, you know, these days there is, but if I didn't sign up, I'd highly doubt that I'd have even one property, or, you know, I wouldn't have probably even went to a local meeting by now. I probably wouldn't have been in real estate at all by now. So, I mean, I don't regret signing up at all. If I didn't sign up, I wouldn't be in it at all.
Was it scary for you to sign up? Did anybody, you know, family or anybody kind of, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I know my one brother, he was excited. He's like, man, you know, I think that'd be good. And he was pushing for me to go to the conference. Like, if you're gonna sign up, you need to go to the conference, you know. And you know, some people you talk to is like, ah, I don't know. What if this happens? What if that happens? Like with ringers, you know, I'm like, yeah, it could and probably will happen, but you just got to get into it. But I remember after I bought the laptop and I signed up, you know, and as soon as I bought the course, I remember I was in the kitchen there. I looked at my mom. I said, as soon as I bought it, I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. I mean, you know, you really, if you don't just dive in and do it, you'll probably just never do it. You will never know what you're doing because you haven't done it before. So you just got to jump right in.
Yeah.
William, we got to make some shirts. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it.
We really should. That should be like on 25. That's awesome.
Oh my goodness. I got to.
I'd wear that shirt.
Seriously, that is so true because, oh my gosh, like you really hit something. Like many times, we don't take action because we don't know what we're doing or we don't know how to get started. But I love it. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it.
Yeah. I mean, what a great attitude to have, because you go in and you get around the right people, which I think is important, but you end up becoming, you're just an absolute sponge and you're able to absorb information because you're so, you're hungry for it and you're looking for it. And you know that these people are going to help you. I mean, that's the great thing about RubeCon and coaches and just people in real estate, I find are really genuinely very helpful. And that's, it's been phenomenal. And that's kudos to you for showing up to RubeCon. And like, I'm a super outgoing person. So I've never been to a conference before besides RubeCon actually. And that was my first one and it was phenomenal. And I don't think I'll ever want to miss one. Mm-hmm. So it's so much fun.
That's it's like a must. Like when you go to like the one RubeCon, William, it's mm-hmm. like you want to go over and over and over to the real estate wealth builders conference.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just
buying tickets and plane tickets the moment you get done with the last one.
Oh yeah. It makes it so real, right? When you get those tickets and everything.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's something that everyone should go to. In fact, we have a couple of conferences coming up. We've got one in Colorado in November. We also have one in St. Louis next year. We'll put more information on the show notes. You can also go to www.rewbon for RubeCon, REWBCON, RubeCon, and you can get more information there.
So Tanner, your brother was super supportive, and obviously we're going to have to make shirts after your last statement, but was there any other like major hurdles besides not knowing? Like obviously you had some money saved up, but you mentioned some naysayers, which I find to be, those are pretty large. Those can be pretty big in keeping you from doing real estate. Did you have any of those, and how'd you overcome some of that?
There was some, you know, people at work and stuff that was like, oh, you know, my dad did real estate and oh, all they do is tear a place, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, people telling you not to do it, but I just ain't really like that. I don't like, as far as listening to people, if I want to do it, I'm going to do it. Even though I didn't know what I was doing, you know, and I thought it was a good idea. And I was looking at long term, you know, I think, you know, if I can get into this, you know, get me a couple, if I get one, you know, then I'll get another one, then another one. There was people that, you know, like you said, naysayers, but the type of person I am, I just didn't really listen to them. If I want to do it, I'm going to do it.
Determination. Love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I just love how inspiring your story is, man. And so what advice would you give to other people who may just be getting started, or maybe they're trying to break through that next level as an investor? Based on your experience, what advice would you give them?
I'd say if you're thinking about signing up, or, you know, if you're not sure if you want to go to the conference, you know, whatever it might be, you just got to dive in and do it. You just got to sign up. Just make yourself go to the conference, because, you know, after one day at the conference, you're going to be glad you went. You know, like I got there and you're like, you know, I don't know. You go out there, but after one day, you're like, man, it's pretty fun. It's nice, you know, talking with everybody. And after one day, you're going to be happy you went, you know, make yourself go. And then, you know, if you're signed up and you're looking for PMs, you know, take your time, you know, interview all the PMs like in the course says and everything. And one thing I learned, don't be afraid to call and find your own handyman or go on Google mm-hmm. and look up your own maintenance guys. Don't always go with who your PM says. It might be, you know, Mr. Reuter or some big company. You know, get online and do some Googling and find your own people, and then say, hey, PM, use this guy. Or you can coordinate it and then tell your PM, hey, he's coming this day, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yes, you can save so mm-hmm. much by doing that, man. William and I, we do that all the time with our properties to make sure we're getting the best price. But man, this has been absolutely amazing. And the thing about these episodes is we have so much fun and have good conversations, but more than likely, maybe we miss something. Is there anything else that we miss so that people can become a breakthrough investor just like you?
I can't really think of anything. I think we covered everything. But I mean, again, you know, if you're like me, you're listening to the podcast and you haven't signed up yet. If you're how I was, you know, not sure, you just got to do it, because you're never going to know. You're never going to be comfortable and know. Mm-hmm. You just got to dive in and do it, you know, and get mm-hmm. it started.
That's awesome, man. Man, we're super proud of you, William and I and Dustin and everyone in the MPI family. You're doing such a great job. You are crushing it. And, you know, people are listening right now and being inspired by your story. Is there any way that they can get in touch with you just to, you know, just to ask you questions about your journey or anything?
Yeah, they could email me. The email is Slade, that's SLAinvestments138@gmail.com.
Awesome, man. Well, this has been great, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And we'll see you at the next RubeCon.
Yeah, I'll see you there.
All righty.
Awesome.